Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Daily Bread for Busy Moms. My name is Sophia, and I will not be your reader today. Today, Johanna is going to read for you, but I will be doing the introductions. Today is Thursday, the 16th of September, which is the 10th of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar. This is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the Day of Atonement. Today we have a lot of readings, but before we get to those, I'm going to read to you what happened in Today in History. New stone tablets are given, according to tradition, from Exodus 34, 28 through 29. Quote, when Moshe came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. This is also a possible date for when Messiah discusses the driving out of demons, blasphemy, and the sign of Jonah. Possible date from Matthew 12:22. Quote, therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. The first scripture reading for today is Leviticus chapter 16, but before I hand it over to Johanna, I just want to wish you an easy fast if you are fasting. May we all be inscribed into the Book of Life. Now Johanna is going to say the blessing and then continue on with today's readings. Before we begin, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for giving us His Word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holiest place behind the curtain, before the atonement cover which is on the ark, so that he would not die. For I will be appearing in the cloud over the atonement cover. In this way shall Aaron come into the sanctuary, with a young bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the holy linen garment, have the linen undergarments on his body, put on the linen sash, and wear the linen turban. They are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and put them on. Then he is to take from the congregation of Bnei Israel two he-goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron is to offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and his house. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Aaron will then cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Aaron is to present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and make a sin offering. But the goat upon which the lot for the scapegoat fell is to be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, by sending it away as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Also, Aaron is to present the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and so make atonement for himself and his house. He is to slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He is to take a fire pan full of coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, plus two handfuls of sweet powdered incense, and bring it within the curtain. Then he is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, so that the cloud of the incense may cover the atonement cover that is on the ark, so that he would not die. He is then to take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the atonement cover on the east side. Before the atonement cover, he is to sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he is to slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkle it upon the atonement cover and before the atonement cover. So he is to make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of Bnei Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their impurities. No one is to be in the tent of meeting when he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he is to go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He is to take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and dab it around on the horns of the altar. He is to sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of Bnei Israel. When he has finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, then he is to present the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of Bnei Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. He shall place them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat will carry all their iniquities by itself into a solitary land, and he is to leave the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron is to come into the tent of meeting, take off the linen garments that he put on when he went into the holy place, and leave them there. He is to bathe himself with water in a holy place, put on his garments, and come out to offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, to make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he is to burn up fat of the sin offering in smoke on the altar. The man who leaves the goat as a scapegoat is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Afterward, he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and their hides, their flesh, and their dung burned with fire. The one who burns them is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Then afterward he may come into the camp. It is to be a statute to you forever that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you are to afflict your souls and do no kind of work, both the native-born and the outsider dwelling among you. For on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. From all your sins you will be clean before the Lord. It is a Shabbat of solemn rest to you, and you are to afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. The Kohen, who is anointed and who is consecrated to be Kohen in his father's place, will make the atonement and put on the linen garments, the holy garments. He is to make atonement for the holy sanctuary, for the tent of meeting, for the altar, for the Kohanim, and for all the people of the assembly. This will be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for Bnei Israel once in the year because of all their sins. It was done as the Lord commanded Moses. That was Leviticus 16, and now our next reading will be Numbers 29, 7 through 11. On the 10th day of this 7th month, you are to have a sacred assembly. You are to deny yourselves and do no work. You are to present to the Lord a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma, 1 young bull from the herd, 1 ram, and 7-year-old male lambs without defect, along with their grain offerings of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah with the bull, 2/10 with the ram, and 1/10 with each of the 7 lambs. Also offer 1 male goat for a sin offering, in addition to the sin offering for atonement, as well as the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offerings. That was Numbers 29, 7 through 11. And now we're going to be reading from the prophets. We'll read Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14, through 58 and verse 14. Then it will be said, build up, build up, prepare the way, remove every stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the High and Exalted One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, yet also with a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow weak before me, the breath of those whom I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him, I hid my face. I was angry, but he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners. Creating the praise of lips, shalom, shalom to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like a troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no shalom, says my God, for the wicked. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a shofar. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day to day and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did right and had not forsaken their God's decree. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted, yet you do not see? Why have we afflicted our souls, yet you take no notice? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to strike with a wicked fist. You should not fast as you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast I have chosen, a day for one to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spreading out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast I choose, to release the bonds of wickedness, to untie the cords of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord as your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you get rid of the yoke among you, finger-pointing and bad-mouthing, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will be like midday. Then the Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations, will be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets for dwelling. If you turn back your foot from Shabbat, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call Shabbat a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure, nor speaking your usual speech, then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will let you ride over the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That was Isaiah 57:14 through 58:14. And now for our reading from the Messianic Scriptures, we'll read Jacob chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Jacob, also known as the Book of James. Where do quarrels and conflicts among you come from? Don't they come from this, namely, your passions that battle within your body parts? You crave and have not. You murder and you envy, yet you cannot get it. You fight and you wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so you may spend it on your passions. You adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that in vain the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit which he has made to dwell in us? But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do not speak evil against one another, brethren. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you are not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judges your neighbor? That was Jacob chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And our next portion will be Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Bnei Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You are not to act as they do in the land of Egypt, where you used to live. Nor are you to act as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, nor are you to walk in their customs. You are to obey my ordinances and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. So you are to keep my statutes and my ordinances. The one who does them will live by them. I am the Lord. None of you is to come near anyone who is his close relatives to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your father or your mother. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your father's wife, for it is your father's nakedness. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter, for theirs is your own nakedness. You are not to uncover the nakedness of the daughter of your father's wife, conceived by your father, since she is your sister. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your father's sister, for she is your father's direct relative. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's direct relative. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your father's brother by approaching his wife, for she is your aunt. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law, for she is your son's wife. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You are not to uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife, because that is your brother's nakedness. You are not to uncover the nakedness of both a woman and her daughter. You are not to take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are direct relatives. That is wickedness. You are not to marry your wife's sister to be a rival, uncovering her nakedness while her sister is still alive. You are not to approach a woman to uncover her nakedness while she is in the impurity of her nidah. You are not to lie sexually with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. You are not to give any of your children in sacrifice to Molech and defile the name of your God. I am the Lord. You are not to lie with a man as with a woman. That is an abomination. You are not to lie with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor is any woman to give herself to an animal to lie down with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these things, for in all of these ways the nations which I am casting out before you were defiled. The land has become defiled, so I will punish its iniquity and the land will vomit out its inhabitants. You, however, are to keep my statutes and my ordinances, and do none of these abominations, neither the native-born nor the outsider dwelling among you. For all these abominations were done by the men of the land who were before you, and the land became defiled. If you defile it, the land will vomit you out, as it vomited out the nation that was before you. For whoever does any of these detestable things, the souls that do them are to be cut off from the midst of their people. Therefore you are to keep my charge, so that you do not practice any of these detestable customs that were practiced before you, so that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. That was Leviticus 18. And now we will read the entire book of Jonah, all four chapters. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Rise, go to the great city Nineveh and call out to her, for their evil has risen before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Yafo and found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fee and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord hurled a forceful wind into the sea, and there was such a mighty storm on the sea that the ship was about to shatter. So the sailors were afraid and cried out, each man to his own god. Then they cast the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship to lay down and fell asleep. So the chief sailor came near to him and said to him, "What, are you sleeping? Get up, call out to your god. Perhaps the gods will consider us so we will not perish." Then each man said to his companion, "Come, let's cast lots, so we may know because of whom this evil is happening to us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account is this evil happening to us? What is your profession, and where did you come from? What is your land, and from what nation are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became afraid with an overwhelming fear, and they said to him, "What have you done?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you so the sea will become calm for us?" For the storm was raging on. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he said to them. "Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, because the sea kept raging against them. So they cried out to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish on account of the soul of this man, and don't put innocent blood on us. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stilled from its raging. Then the men became afraid with an overwhelming fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "From my distress I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. From the belly of Sheol I cried for help, and you heard my voice. For you hurled me from the deep into the heart of the seas, and currents swirled around me. All your waves and your breakers swept over me. And I said, 'I have been banished from before your eyes, yet I will continue to look toward your holy temple.' Waters surrounded me up to my soul. The deep sea engulfed me. Reeds clung to my head. To the bottoms of the mountains I went down. The earth with her bars was around me forever. Yet you brought my life up from the pit, Lord my God. As my soul was fading from me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you toward your holy temple. Those who watch worthless, empty things forsake their mercy, but I, with a voice of thanks, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, Rise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out to it the proclamation that I am telling you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great city to God, the length of a 3-day journey. So Jonah began to come into the city for 1 day's journey, and he cried out, saying, Another 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed God and called for a fast and wore sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. He made a proclamation, saying, In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock may taste anything. They must not graze nor drink water, but cover man and beast with sackcloth. Let them cry out to God with urgency. Let each one turn from his evil way and from the violence in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn back from his burning anger so that we may not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, God relented from the calamity that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he resented it. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Please, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my own country? That's what I anticipated, fleeing to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and full of kindness and relenting over calamity. So please, Lord, take my soul from me, because better is my death than my life. Yet the Lord said, Is it good for you to be so angry? So Jonah went out from the city and sat east of the city. There he made a sukkah, and he sat under it in the shade until he saw what would happen in the city. Then the Lord God prepared a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to give shade over his head to spare him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the plant. But God, at dawn the next day, prepared a worm that crippled the plant, and it withered away. When the sun rose, God prepared a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint. He implored that his soul would die, saying, My death would be better than my life. Then God said to Jonah, Is it good for you to be so angry about the plant? It is, he said. I am angry, enough to die. But the Lord said, You have pity on the plant for which you did no labor or make it grow, that appeared overnight and perished overnight. So shouldn't I have pity on Nineveh, the great city that has in it more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, as well as many animals? And that was the book of Jonah, a beautiful example of God's mercy and compassion when we turn to him in fasting, as we will be doing on this day of Yom Kippur. Our next portion is Micah 7:18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, overlooking transgression for the remnant of his heritage? He will not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will extend truth to Jacob, mercy to Abraham, that you swore to our ancestors from the days of old. That was Micah 7, 18 through 20. And now our final portion is from the apostles, and it is 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient toward you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will melt and disintegrate, and the earth and everything done on it shall be exposed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people should you be? Live your lives in holiness and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In that day, the heavens will be dissolved by fire, and the elements will melt in the intense heat. But in keeping with his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, loved ones, while you are looking for these things, make every effort to be found in Shalom, spotless and blameless before him. That was 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14, and it concludes our readings for Yom Kippur. As you are preparing for this special day on God's calendar, a special appointment with him, I pray that you will be blessed with a fruitful time of introspection, of looking over your life for this past year and seeing in what areas God is calling you to new growth and new obediences. This is Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom. Until next time, Tzom Kal, may you have an easy fast, and Gemar Chatima Tova, may you have a good, may you be inscribed for good and for life for this coming year.